Now we'll begin this opening paragraph for the Likut Imran. In our, it's on the right hand side on the page. In our Likut Imran, it's on the right hand side of the page, towards the bottom of the page. Rabbeinu Zal began by saying, "Lechu chazu mifalois Hashem, come and see the wonders of Hashem, His galus nifla, a wondrous revelation." Misoid gedulas hatano helikai Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoizal, regarding the awesomeness, a secret pertaining to the greatness of the Tana Rabbi Shimon bar Yochoi. Rabbi Nezal says, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoi hivtiach shiloi tishtakach Torah miYisrael al yodoi. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochoi was the rabbi in the Gemara who guaranteed that the Torah will not be forgotten from the Jewish people through him. Kimuva b'divrei Razal, as the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Ches, kishenichnasu rabbeinu leKerem biYavne, that one time the rabbis of the Gemara came into the city of Kerem biYavne, Amru, and they said, Asido Torah shetishtakach miYisrael. The rabbis spoke up and they said they foresaw there's going to come a time shortly before the coming of Moshiach when there's going to be a choshech in the world, there's going to be a darkness, where the generation is going to deteriorate to such a point, the wisdom of Torah is going to become so downtrodden to the extent where the Torah is going to be forgotten from the Jewish people. The Omar Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and the Gemara says that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai spoke up and said, Shaloi tishtakach, that the Torah will never be forgotten. Shinemar, he quoted a pasuk where the pasuk says, Hashem says the Torah will not be forgotten from His children. And is explained in the Zohar Kodesh, Bahai chibura diihu sefer hazoyar yifkun bei mingalusa. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai told his students that in the zechus, in the merit of this sefer, the Zohar Kodesh, which we are revealing to the world, this is what's going to ensure that the Jews are going to be taken out of Golus, that they're not going to remain in Golus to such a point where they sink to the bottom, but that they are going to be redeemed. And the Zohar, the word Zohar means light. In Hebrew, the word Zohar means light. The word Zohar is also bigimatria. The word Zohar is also the word haroz, the secret. This pertaining to the secrets of Torah. Now, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the word shikcha, the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us, is the word hachoshech. The word shikcha means darkness. What do we mean when we say somebody forgot something? I forgot this person's phone number. Somebody gave me a phone number 5 minutes ago, and I forgot it. What does that mean? It means that originally I heard the phone number, it entered through my ears, it was inscribed in my brain, and it went in there. Proof is that a moment later I could bring it back. If you would ask me what's the phone number, I could read it right back because it's been inscribed in my brain. However, there are people who suffer from shikha, from forgetfulness, which means what happens is it's as if you're in a library, you're standing in a library and the lights are off. Go try to find some information in a book. You have a library, it's got thousands of books in it, but the lights are out. Can you see any of the information in the book? No. The same exact thing happens within a person's brain. There's a lot of information that enters the brain, but what happens is, if there's a light in the person's mind, if it's lit up, then when the person searches their brain to find this information, it's there. They see it, they can recall it. If there's darkness there, if it's dark, even though the information is somewhere there, the person can't recall it, they can't locate it. That's the concept of shikha. Whereas the Zohar HaKadosh, the secrets of Torah, which are referred to as the light of Torah, they have a power to shine a light, so bright a light in the world, to protect the entire Jewish people from ever completely forgetting the Torah. V'ato boi ure'ei v'hovein. And now come and see and understand Niflois Nistori Shel Toraseinu HaKadosh, the wondrous hidden secrets of our Torah. Ki al kein somach Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai atzmoi al zeh apostol ki lois yishokam hi pizaroi. Now I'll tell you why Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai relied specifically on that posuk as his proof. Why was he the rabbi that came forth and said this? And why specifically quoting this pasuk? Ki be'emes boze ha-posuk bi'atzmai merumos v'nistar soid hazeh. Because the fact is that in this pasuk itself is found the secret regarding the fact that it's this specific rabbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, with the heritage that he would leave behind in the world, the Zohar HaKodesh that he revealed to the world, he would be the one who would be privileged to be able to guarantee that the Jewish people would never forget the Torah entirely, that the light of Torah will never be extinguished completely. Why? Because in this pasuk itself is hidden the secret that through the child of Rabbi Yochai, Shehu Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, which is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Al Yodoi Lo Sishtaka HaTorah Yisrael, through him specifically, the Torah will never be forgotten from the Jewish people. Why? Ki soifoi tevoi shel zeh haposuk ki loisi shokach mi pizaroi hem oisiois yoichoi. Because this sentence in the Chumash itself, ki loisi shokach mi pizaroi, the last letters of those words make up the word yoichoi, which is the father of Rabbi Choi. Why didn't Hashem say, ki loisi shokach mi pi bnei Yisrael? Or why doesn't the Torah word this in some different way? Why does it say it precisely in this manner, the Torah will not be forgotten from his child? Who is this referring to? The answer is, in that sentence is hidden which child specifically, who's the parent, who's the child, in whose zechus the Torah will never be forgotten from the Jewish people. It's specifically the child of a rabbi by the name of Rabbi Yochai. Because the last letters of the words, ki loisi shoka mipi zari, make up the word Yochai. V'ze shemarame zomegala haposuk, this is what this posuk is coming to show us. Ki loisi shoka mipi zari daiko. Hainu mipi zari shel ze bi'atzmai shomarumos v'nistar b'ze haposuk. Shehu atano Yochai. The posuk is telling us that in the zechus of a specific child, of a specific father, the Torah will never be forgotten from the Jewish people. Because it's through the child of Rabbi Yochai, whose name is hinted to in the last letters of this posuk, Shehu Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Al Yodoi Lo Sishtaka HaTorah. It's through him that he will guarantee that the Torah will never be forgotten, because he is the one who is going to bring such a bright light into the world, the light of the secrets of Torah, which were studied by the Mekubolim, and which were later passed down from generation to the generation, to the leaders of the Hasidim, the Baal Shem Tov, who passed this on to his students, and the Vilna Goyim, Zichron Levracha, all of these tzaddikim, who studied the words of the Zohar HaKadosh, and who brought this light into the world. It's that light specifically that's responsible for seeing to it that the entire Torah, the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, everything, that none of this will ever be forgotten, that it'll have a kiyum in the world. Because this light is considered so bright and so substantial that it will ensure the Torah's posterity, the Torah's eternity within the within our world. Veda, and Rabbeinu Zal added, Shesoid Rabbi Shimon bi'atzmoi humarumas b'posuk acher. This posuk alludes to the child of Rabbi Yochai, but it doesn't mention him by name. The question is, where do we see a posuk in the Torah that gives us an inkling as to the greatness of Rabbi Shimon, this specific Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? Rabbeinu Zal said, Ki da, ki hatana hakodosh Rabbi Shimon, hu bechinas ir v'kadosh min shemaya nochis. The rabbi, Rabbi Shimon, he is hinted to in a posuk in Daniel, where the posuk refers to a holy angel that descended from heaven, and it uses this posuk, ir v'kadosh min shemaya nochis. The first letters of that posuk make up the word Rabbi Shimon. Rosh Tevo is Shimon. This is the opening paragraph in the Likutei Moran. Now, just as a short note of warning, again, there are Jews who haven't been privileged to learn enough, and as a result, they make certain mistakes. We have little kinderlich running around today, who they hear the word gematria, they say that's for Hasidim, that's for strange people. I don't go for gematria, I go for pilpul. A person saying that is a kofer, is an atheist, because such a person would have to dissect the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara in Nozir and in many other places learns out actual halachos from gematrias in the Torah. The Gemara says, how do we know that when a Jew makes a neder, when a Jew says, I'm not going to eat meat, and he doesn't specify for how long he means, we assume a 30-day period. How do we learn this out? The Gemara says, from a gematria. Because there's a pasuk by Nozir, where the pasuk says, Kodosh yihyeh gadel perasa roishoi, that his hair should be holy, and the word should be, yihyeh yud-hei is begematria 30. The Gemara says, here we have a remez, should be, that whenever a person wants something to be, and they don't specify a time limit, the assumption is a minimum of 30 days. This is one of hundreds of examples that appear throughout Shas, throughout Shulchan Aruch, where the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, the Litvak, the Misnagdim, everybody has to support this item. This is Torah Misinai. This is what Hashem revealed. This has nothing to do with Chassidim, Misnagdim, Litvak, Pilpul. This is way above that. And so too with these items such as Roshei Tevois and Soifei Tevois. These are also items that are mentioned in the Gemara, in the Zohar HaKadosh, in the Medrash, in many, many places. Now the question is, a person could ask a question, why is it that sometimes we refer to Rosh Tevois, the first letters, sometimes we discuss Soifei Tevois? A person can be at ease in knowing that this question is raised in the Tikkunei Zohar, and the Tikkunei Zohar goes into a discussion in depth explaining why it is specifically that certain items in the Torah were revealed specifically through these codes, where sometimes it's a gematria, it's a number, sometimes it's the first letters of a pasuk, sometimes it's the last letters. The Tikkunei Zohar gives a very deep explanation as to why. This is not the time for us to go into it. Suffice it to say that this question is raised and the question is addressed. Those that are privileged to have emunah and to be willing to learn, to open their eyes to the Gemara, to the Shulchan Aruch, to the Sforum of Rabbein Azal, and the other Sforum that use these methods, will see that this is the Amitosoi Shel Torah. Reb Chaim Vitalzal, in the introduction to the Kisvei Arizal, says, he's introducing the Kisvei Arizal, the writings of the Arizal, which are probably the most outstanding work in the realm of Kabbalah. And he says, one thing I'm going to say to make things very simple. Any person who's going to have the brains to read the words in this sefer, just read a couple of pages here, you'll be able to come to the conclusion yourself that this is not something that somebody sat down with a calculator and figured out. There's no way in the world that a human being using human intellect could ever have arrived at these conclusions. This could only be a Ruach HaKodesh, a spirit of holiness that Hashem has granted to tzaddikim in earlier generations, that they were privileged to have revealed to them the innermost secrets and formulas of the Torah. This is not something that every Tom, Dick, and Harry is permitted to do on their own, that if we see Sforim that use gematrias, so anybody that wants can get up and say, my name is Rosenberg, I can quote Reish Zion and start making gematrios. We don't have the right to do that. This is a wisdom that's based on very thorough knowledge of Torah, and it's based on a ruach of kedusha that tzaddikim are blessed to have, that allows them to darshan all the different facets of Torah. This is the introduction, this is the opening paragraph of the Likutei Moran. Now, the next section in Likutei Moran, which consists of 14 chapters that are based on 14 mystical stories that are mentioned in the Gemara in Baba Basra. Those that have learned Baba Basra around Daf Ayin, Daf Pei, know that there is a section in the Gemara there where the Gemara discusses the guzmois of Rabba Bar Bar Chana. One of the rabbis of the Gemara, whose name was Rabba Bar Bar Chana, told about 17, 18 stories, wondrous stories, stories of things that happened to him, certain incidents in his life. He was traveling on a ship once, and he saw this awesome sight. And he describes what he saw. And it doesn't seem to have any meaning related to Judaism, related to Yiddishkeit. These are just stories, interesting stories. the Marshal and many other commentaries on the Gemara give beautiful, beautiful explanations and interpretations to these stories, how they show that these were actually referring to much deeper things that are lessons for us in Yiddishkeit, lessons that can show us how to come close to Hashem, how to serve Hashem properly, etc. Rabbeinu Zal told his Talmidim that Rabbi Bar Bar Chona came to him once and requested from him that he discuss, that he take up this project of taking these stories, this section of Shas, these stories that were revealed by Rabbi Baruch Bar Chona, and that Rabbeinu Zal attempt to be mechadish, to bring forth Chidushei Torah on these statements. And Rabbi Bar Bar Chona said to him, I will reveal to you Chidushim on my stories. This is what Rabbeinu Zal said as the intro to his giving these 14 chapters that's going to take us a few months to learn, Im Yitzhak Hashem, which we're going to begin now. Rav Nosson Zal writes, Be'ezras kel elyoin asher shamayim veretz kona, with the help of Hashem who created heaven and earth, v'nosan lonu es teirosoi mimidbar matono, and he gave us his Torah from the desert as a gift, naschil lahatvis chidushim niflom v'nairom al mamorei Rabba Bar Bar Chona, we're going to begin to publish wondrous, awesome chidushim regarding the statements of Rabba Bar Bar Chona, bizchus ze nizkel alois letzion bernono, in the zechus of printing this, publishing this, and studying this, we should be zeiche to go to Yerushalayim with song, El Kiryas Melech David Chono, to the city of King David, who is blessed with his chain. This is a short poem that was written as an introduction to these chapters. Now, Rabbeinu Zal is going to be basing this first chapter on two items. One is a pasuk in Tehillim. The second is this story in the Gemara, this story of Rabba Bar Bar Chona. Rabbeinu Zal begins the first sentence in the largest kapitel in Tehillim. We know that in Tehillim there is a kapitel Kuf Yud Tes that's called Temanya Api. In this kapitel we have 8 sentences for each and every single letter of the Aleph Beis, which means since there are 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, this gives us a total of 176 sentences. It's no coincidence that that's the largest paragraph in Tehillim, and it's also the largest number of pages of a Gemara in Shas. The Gemara Baba Basra, which is the largest Gemara in the entire Shas, has exactly 176 pages, corresponding to the 176 sentences of the largest paragraph in Tehillim. In this paragraph, it begins with the sentence, Ashrei temimei derech, ha'hilchem b'toras Hashem. Fortunate are those simple people who go in the path of Hashem, who walk with the Torah of Hashem. We're just going to deviate for a second. We can't restrain ourselves. It's a common minhog among mechabrim of a sefer, an author of a sefer. In fact, they quote this name of a medrash, I believe, that it's customary for an author of a sefer to write his name in code in the introduction, in his opening words of a sefer. Those people that are familiar with Sforum of Tzaddikim, many times this is done. We know that Rabbeinu Zal's name is Rabbi Nachman ben Feiga. That's how he's best known, by his mother's name. This is what he said to his students. He wanted to be known by his mother's name. And his most important student was Rav Nosson Zal. Rav Nosson from the city of Nemerov. This was the student who was responsible for writing down all of Rabbeinu Zal's shiurim. Rabbeinu Zal once said that were it not for this student, there wouldn't have been one page of my shiurim left for generations. And it's specifically in the zechus of this one student who took his rabbi's shiurim so seriously and documented every single shiur that he was able to get his hands on. As a result of his efforts, we have today thousands of pages that are written on by Rabbeinu Zal himself and the commentaries on his Sforim. interesting, you'll note that the opening word in this sefer now is the word ashrei. Rabbeinu Zal begins with the word ashrei, tmimei derech. The word ashrei is bigimatria. The word ashrei is 511. This word has four letters, gives us 515. And the word itself is one, gives us 516. The word ashrei is bigimatria Rabbi Nachman ben Feger in this form. The word tmimei, tof mem yud mem yud, is bigimatria Rab Nosson. Rab Nosson Zal's name, the word Nosson. This is an interesting item that I once heard from one of the Zakenim of Breslov, an interesting remez in the introduction to this sefer, hinting to the author, the two authors of this sefer, the one who gave the shiurim, the one who documented it, the one who actually wrote it down. Rabbeinu Zal begins, Da you should know, Ki al yedei ha-Torah, Niskablin kol ha-tfilois, V'chol ha-bakoshois, She'onu mevakshim u-mispallim. We know that every single Jew has things that they want from Hashem. How do we express what we want from Hashem? We express it in tfilois and bakoshois. Anytime a Jew is mispalel to Hashem or mevakish from Hashem, we're actually asking Hashem for different things. Rabbeinu Zal says the key to having all your tefillos and all your bakoshos accepted by Hashem is the Torah. It's through the study of Torah that a Jew can be zeicha to have all their tefillos and bakoshos answered. V'hachein v'hachashivus shel Yisrael nis'ale v'nisroimen b'fnei kol mi shetzrichim. And the chain, the charm, and the chashivus, the importance of Klal Yisrael, rises and becomes exalted before anybody that you need it. Hein beruchni, hein begashmi. Whether it applies in a spiritual sense, that we should be zeichet to have chain in Hashem's eyes, Hashem should like us, Hashem should find us enjoyable, or even in the eyes of human beings. There are times a person goes into a bank and they need a certain service. They need a loan from the bank. Person needs anything that they have to come on to somebody else. And it's understood that if you walk in and the person sees your face and they don't like what they see, no matter how nice a story you have, and no matter how good an argument, the person has been turned off even before you open your mouth. You're lacking chen. The person doesn't have charm, and automatically the person is not receptive to what you have to say. Unless you're going to sell him something really fantastic, the person has become turned off to you from the start. Whereas, when a person is zeicha to be blessed with chen, if a Jew is zeicha to have chen, this person walks into somebody's office, or this person approaches anybody, if anything, the moment they see this person's face, they become softened. Immediately, they take a liking to this person, and they're immediately looking to see how they can help this person, how they can benefit this person. What's the whole key to this? Chein, charm. We know that there is such a thing. There are people who have a chein, that they go among people, and immediately, people see this person, they like him immediately, and right away, people are happy to do what this person wants. There are other people that are lacking in this chein, and no matter how good a story they have to sell, no matter how good, the fact that the person is lacking in chein, people don't have ears to listen to what this person wants to say. So Rabbeinu Zal says you should know that through the Torah, a Jew receives chein, which can help the person, beruchnius and begashmius. And Rabbeinu Zal says nowadays, the chein and chashivus of Bnei Yisrael, now Rabbeinu Zal says, Ki achshov bavoyneseinu horabim hachein v'chashivus amiti shel Yisrael nofal. Nowadays, the true importance and charm of the Jewish people has fallen. It's very low. Ki achshov ikar hachashivus v'chein hu etzlam. Because nowadays we find that the main respectability and importance and charm is by the goyim. They seem to have control of the world. They seem to be the most important ones. The superpowers are getting together for salt talks, for schmalt talks, all of this nonsense. It seems as if they're the ones that are in control. They're the chashuvim of the world. They're the ones who are dictating the policy of the world. And it seems as if they're the ones who have the chein, where they come together, and hundreds of countries are supportive of them. You have a few hundred countries that are supporting the United States, a few hundred countries that are supporting Russia, a few hundred countries that are supporting Helm, who knows what they're supporting. All of them seem to have a certain, the different nations of the Goyim that have a certain chain and chashivus. However, Rabbeinu Zal says you should know that the Torah has in it a gift where through the Torah, the chain and chashivus of the Jewish people becomes increased and elevated. Where do we see this? It's a Gemara. Rabbeinu Zal says, Ki ha-Torah nikras ayele sahabim v'yalas chain. There is a pasuk in Mishlei where the Torah is referred to as Ayeles Ahavim, it's something that breeds love, V'yalas Chein. And the Gemara says in Erevin, Shema Lechein Alim Deho. Why is the Torah called Yalas Chein? Because the Torah possesses in it a gift, a beauty, where those that study Torah, the Torah places a Chein upon them. The Torah gives them charm. V'alidei zeh niskablin kol hatfilois v'abakoshois. And that's how a Jew can have all their tefillos and bakoshos answered. Picture a person coming before Hashem, the Melech Malchei Hamlochim, and you're asking for something. We know that there doesn't a person comes to their friend and asks him for $100,000. There's a possibility that he's got it. There's a possibility that he don't. There's a possibility that he has it, but it's tied up. There's a even if he has it. He has it tied up in a certain way that he can't give it to you. There's a possibility that not. There's hundreds of there's all kinds of possibilities whereby this person can't provide you with what they want. Even if they want to, there exists a possibility that I just can't. I don't have it. It's too much for me. We know that by Hashem, that excuse is not available. There doesn't exist a metzius of a person coming to Hashem and asking for something that Hashem cannot provide. Rachmana Litzlan, a person is sick. A person is 1 inch away from dying. The Gemara says, Afilu cherev chado munachas al tzavori shel odom al yisya'i shmin atfilo. Even if the tip of the sword is pressing on your throat, don't give up from tefillah. Do not hesitate to ask Hashem for salvation. Why? Because for Hashem it's nothing to take that sword and flip it around and have it go right into the one that's trying to stab you. Hashem is koil yochoil. There's nothing in the world conceivable that Hashem cannot do. So therefore, for starters, a Jew comes before Hashem, you know that there doesn't exist anything that I can't ask for. Number one. Fine, that's a pretty good beginning. Now the question is there anything that I can do that ensures, in other words, what I would prefer from Hashem is, I would prefer Hashem to leave the check blank. Picture a person could be zechet to say to Hashem, Hashem, I want a blank check. We know Hashem's checks don't bounce. Again, there's no option that there isn't enough funds in the bank to back it. Person would say to Hashem, could you simply give me anything I need, everything I need? What could be better than that? What could be better than having such an option available? Rabbeinu Zal says that when a Jew is zeichet to study Torah properly, the Torah places a chain upon the person. Chain means that when you walk through the door, before you even make your request, before you even open your mouth, the one sitting on the other side of the desk takes one look at you and says, wonderful, excellent. If a person could have that, then you know that regardless of what you're going to say, it doesn't really mean much what you're going to say, what you're going to ask for. Whatever you're going to ask for, gladly. It's not even, he doesn't even have to pay attention to what you're asking for. If he's limited, then fine. He's got to figure out if what you're asking for is within his means, it's not within his means. I'll have it for you in 30 days. I'll have it for you in 90 days. If you're approaching Hashem, we know that Hashem has everything. And if a person could only have chen by Hashem, that kind of feeling by Hashem, there's nothing better than that in the world. Rabbeinu Zal says the key to that is the study of Torah. The Gemara says, Shema lechen alim deho, that the Torah places a chen upon those that learn it. This is the first paragraph. The rest of this chapter is going to be an explanation of this first paragraph. Halavai, we should be zeicha to learn, to continue to learn, in the zechus of the limud haTorah, to have this chen, which will eventually bring about the coming of Moshiach, the Binyan Beis Midrash, Merav Amen, Amen, Amen. Amen. We're continuing the second shir in this first chapter of Likutei Moran. We'll just give a 1 minute summary of the first paragraph that we started last week, and then we'll continue from there. Rabbeinu Zal begins this first Torah in Likutei Moran. Each chapter in Likutei Moran is called a Torah. Rabbeinu Zal begins this first Torah by saying that you should know that through the study of Torah, all the tefillos and all the requests that a person makes are accepted by Hashem, and the chen and chashivus of the Jewish people is elevated before anybody that they need to have this chen and chashivus, both begashmius and beruchnius. And Rabbeinu Zal says, we know that nowadays this chen and chashivus of the Jewish people is very downtrodden, and it appears as if the goyim, the nations of the goyim, are the ones that are really choshuv. It appears as if they're the ones that are running the world. But Rabbeinu Zal says you should know that through the Torah, there is elevated the chen and chashivus of Bnei Yisrael. Because we know that the Torah is called in a pasuk in Mishlei, Ayeles Ahavim V'yal Aschein, and the Gemara Darshan's Neirovin, Shema Lechein Aloim Deho, that the Torah places a chen upon those that learn it. So Rabbeinu Zal tells us that if a Jew is zeicha to learn Torah, the Torah gives them chen and chashivus, both before Hashem and before other people. If a person needs to have chen in people's eyes, so that people should be willing to associate with them, to socialize with them, to help them, you know, in any way, Rabbeinu Zal says that the key to this is the Torah. And we started to say last week that the style that Rabbeinu Zal uses in this sefer is that generally, in his opening paragraph of a chapter, he discusses the main theme of that whole chapter. And then the remaining paragraphs are usually an elaboration or an explanation or a broadening of what's in that first paragraph. Let's see how Rabbeinu Zal is going to explain this. Rabbeinu Zal says, Ki ish ha-Yisraeli tzorich tomid sheyistakel ba-ha-sechel shel kol dovor, a Jew is required to study carefully the seichel that's found in every item. How do we know that every single item in the world has seichel? It's a pasuk. Kulam b'chochma asiso. Hashem has made everything in this world with chochma, with wisdom. And this chochma is found within every single item in the world. So a person has to first study it and find it, identify the seichel that's found in every item, and a Jew has to bind himself and attach himself to the chokhmah and seichel that's found in every item. Why? So that the wisdom that's found in every single item in the world will shine for that person a light that'll lead the way for him to come close to Hashem. Now, just to give a small example for a second, Rabbeinu Zal is going to explain this, but just to give an example so we have something to relate to. There is a story brought about the Baal Shem Tov, that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was once walking with his Talmidim, and during this walk, they were walking through the forest, and a leaf fell off a tree. And the Baal Shem Tov told his Talmidim, let's follow this leaf. And they followed it as the wind was blowing it, and it was going from one place to the next, and they followed it throughout its whole path. And the wind blew this leaf to a certain destination. And the Baal Shem Tov showed them how there was a reason, there was a need for this leaf to take up a position within where it ended up being. And the Baal Shem Tov said that the lesson that's being learned from this lesson in forestry is a lesson in Hashgacha Prati, which is one of the main tenets of Emunah in Hashem. That if a Jew believes in Hashem, an Orthodox Jew, it means we believe that Hashem watches over every single item that takes place in this world, whether it relate to a human being, to an animal, to a plant, to a rock, and that there isn't a single item, a single event that takes place in this world, even so small as a leaf blowing in the wind, and the fact that it moves 3.165 inches to the right and then comes exactly back to its original position, that does not take place without Hashem's own personal supervision and without Hashem's personal command and Hashem's wanting that to take place. Now, here's an example of a person looking at a leaf and realizing, thinking about the Elokus in that, where Hashem is to be found, either in that leaf or related to that leaf, and to be able to learn to use that leaf as an example, as imagery, to lead to strengthen that person's emunah in Hashem. This is an example of identifying the seichel that's found within an item and using that as a guiding light to lead us to bind ourselves to the seichel in that item, and then to use it as a light leading us to Hashem, bringing us close to Hashem. Now Rabbi Nazal says, "Ki haseichel hu oir gadol," because seichel is a very bright light, u'meir loy b'chol derochov, and it serves just as when a person is walking at night in a forest and it's very dark, and they turn on a flashlight, and the beam of light that's coming forth from this flashlight shines a path for the person, that the person sees where to go, where not to go, and a person's able to find the direction that they need. Rabbi Nazal says, so too, seichel is a bright light that shines a path for a person. K'moy shekosuv, as the pasuk says in Koheles, chochma sodom toyer ponov, that the wisdom, the knowledge of a person, shines on their face. That's the literal translation. Rabbi Nazal here teaches the word ponov. The word ponov in Hebrew has several meanings. It could also mean lefonov, before you. Chochmas Sodom toyer lefonov. The wisdom of a person shines a path before him. In other words, it serves as a beam of light showing you where to go, which direction is forward, which direction is backwards. Rabbi Nazal says now, v'zeh b'chinas Yaakov, this concept of seichel, and having such an appreciation for seichel, that when a person lives, they look around them constantly. They look at a table, and they know that they learned in science that this table isn't what it appears to be, this wood isn't what it appears to be, this wood is made up of molecules, and the molecules are made up of atoms, and the atoms consist of protons, neutrons, and electrons, and the electrons go round and round around the protons and everything, and this is how this whole thing is kept together. No, it's not as you see it, that this is one lump item. It's actually millions and billions of little items that are sort of stuck together and being held together by things spinning around. Now, the yo-yos that teach science, unfortunately, they stop right before the punchline. The punchline is, who tells the electron to go spinning around? That they don't bother with. Notice they explain great depth and wisdom in analyzing that it's molecules, and a molecule is made up of atoms and the whole thing, but they leave out the punchline, the most important part, that kaviyochel, there's a Hashem that issues a command every second telling those molecules to stick together. And if Hashem ever turned away for 1 second from this table, you would see the whole thing disperse, fall apart, become nothing. That part they leave out. But a Jew who believes in Hashem and who studies Torah, when a Jew looks at a building, or a Jew looks at any of the beauty, the creations of Hashem in this world, and he looks to find Hashem's greatness within that item, within the beauty that's found in it, within the complexity, within the practical uses for those items, any of those things, that's where a person is identifying the seichel in the item, and he's attaching himself to it, to use that as a stepping stone to come closer to Hashem. To use that as a tool to bring me closer to Hashem. And Rabbi Nazal says, you want to know who's an example of this? Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is the symbol of Seichel. Why? V'zeh b'chinas Yaakov. Ki Yaakov, this is the concept of Yaakov Avinu. Ki Yaakov zocho lebechira, shehi reishis. We know that Yaakov Avinu was zeche to attain the birthright. He actually bought from Esav Harosha the Bechira, the birthright. Now the question is, who cares who was born first or not? What's the big deal? What does Bechira represent? What does being first, firstborn, represent? Rabbein Azal says, Bechira Shehi Reishis. Bechira means first. And what is first? Shehi Bechinas Chachma. First is Chachma. There is a pasuk in the Torah that tells us that the first is Chochmah. When we talk about the qualities of Hashem, the attributes of Hashem, the Zohar HaKadosh describes these to us, and we know that within the midos of Hashem, within the attributes of Hashem, the first one is Chochmah. There's Chochmah, there are 10 basic attributes of Hashem. Chochmah bino das, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hoyd, Yesod, and Malchus. Chochma is the first. This is why there's a pasuk in the Torah that says, Reishis, Chochma, Yiras Hashem. Telling us that Chochma is Reishis. Chochma is the first. So when the Torah tells us that Yaakov Avinu made an issue about acquiring the birthright, what was he going after? He was going after Reishis. He was going after Chochma. And this is why the Torah testifies about Yaakov Avinu, Vayaakveni ze pamayim. Esav HaRosha said about his brother Yaakov, my brother Yaakov Avinu tricked me twice. The Targum Unkelis, Vachakmeni. And the Targum on that Pasuk, Vayaakveni, is Vachakmeni. He outsmarted me. With what did he outsmart me? With the birthright and the Barucha, the Bechira and the Barucha. Both of these things were Reishis. Both of these things are symbolized by Reishis, this first, this concept of going first. He beat him to the punch. He beat Esav to the punch on the Brachas. And also he took away from him this privilege of being the firstborn. He bought that right from him. This showed that Yaakov Avinu was seeking Chochmah, because Chochmah is known as first, Reishis. Rabbein Azal says, V'zeh bechinas shemesh. And this Chochmah is also a concept of the sun. Ki ha-seichel hu-meir lo-y b'chol d'rochov k'moy ha-shemesh. Because we know that a person's knowledge, a person's intellect, lights up a way for that person, shines a path for that person, just as the sun shines a path. V'zeh b'chinas, this is what the pasuk means when it says, V'oirach tzadikim ko'oir noiga hoilech v'oir ad nochoin hayoin. The pasuk says that the path of a tzadik is like a bright light that shines and glows until throughout the day. That this is the whole concept of a tzaddik. A tzaddik is one who shows a serious interest in chokhmah, in seichel. A tzaddik is one who keeps his eyes open all day and is constantly, anything he looks at, he's not looking just at the object itself, he's looking for the Hashem in that object. Where is Hashem to be found within an object? Hashem is the seichel within the item. When we look, because the Torah tells us that kulam b'chochmah siso, that Hashem made everything in the creation with chochmah, if we can identify the chochmah within that item and use that as a reminder that Hashem is within that item, and it's Hashem who created that item, and Hashem who's maintaining that item, and we feel a thankfulness to Hashem, an appreciation of everything, and this brings us closer to Hashem, this reminds us and binds us to Hashem, then that object has fulfilled its purpose. Just as when we say that a fruit, what's the tikkun for a fruit in this world? When a Jew takes hold of that fruit and makes a bruch on it and consumes it, that's the tikkun for that fruit. Why? Because when I make a bruch on a fruit, I say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Borei Pri Ha'etz, I'm showing that I acknowledge that this fruit didn't come into being just by some magician, that this fruit was created by a Hashem, it was created for a purpose, it has nourishment in it, it has nutrients in it, where when a person eats this and it becomes part of them, the energy that's generated from that helps that person breathe, it helps that person move, and the person can use that energy to serve Hashem with. Now Rabbi Nizal says that this concept of Seichel, which corresponds to Yaakov Avinu, which corresponds to the sun, v'zeh b'chinas ches. This also corresponds to the concept of the letter ches in the Hebrew alphabet. We know that the Zohar HaKadosh, just as the Medrash, takes each letter in the Hebrew alphabet very seriously. Each and every single letter in the Aleph Beis has a significance to it. For example, there's a Medrash that says that if you look at the first set of the Aseres HaDibrois in the Chumash, you'll observe that there's a difference, one of the differences between the first set of Ten Commandments and the second set of Ten Commandments is that the letter Tes does not appear whatsoever in the first set of commandments. The Aseres HaDibrois, which is made up of 620 letters, and not once do you find the letter Tes in the first commandments. Why? The answer is you would ask a person that doesn't really know how deep the Torah is, and they would say, what's the big deal? There's no reason. There doesn't have to be a reason for it. Whereas a person who knows that the Torah was made by Hashem, and Hashem is infinite, and therefore anything whatsoever that you find in that Torah has a purpose and a reason and a lesson to teach, they would want to know what the lesson is. One of the items that's mentioned in Mefarshim about this is, because of the fact that Hashem foresaw that the first set of Ten Commandments was going to be broken, the first set of Luchos was going to be broken by Moshe Rabbeinu, and we know that the letter Tes is the symbol of Toiv. The Medrash says in many places that the letter Tes represents Toiv, good. Therefore, Hashem did not want to allow the Jewish people to witness the Toiv being shattered, so that Chas V'Shalom they should be misled into thinking that the Toiv, the good, was destroyed, or the good was broken, because good, the good that exists, could never be destroyed, could never be broken. The Toiv that's found within a Jew, the Nekuda Toiv that's found within a Jew or within the Torah, could never ever be destroyed whatsoever. This was the lesson that Hashem wanted to teach us by leaving out the Tes on purpose from the first set of Aseres HaDibrois. Here's an example showing us how each letter in the Aleph Beis has significance. In the Likutei Moran, as we learn this Sefer, we're going to come across several items from the Zohar HaKadosh from other places where we're going to have explained to us the secrets regarding different letters in the Aleph Beis. For example, the design of the letter Aleph, how the letter Aleph actually contains within it Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. The letter Aleph is actually constructed with a Yud on top, an upside down Yud on bottom, and that long thing in the middle is like a Vav. It's actually the shape of a Vav. So you have two Yuds and a Vav, which is Bigimatria 26, which is the Gematria of Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. And there are reasons as to why it is that way. It's not just stam. So now Rabbi Nizal tells us that this concept of Seichel, knowledge, which corresponds to the sun, which corresponds to Yaakov Avinu, which corresponds to Bechaira, is also the concept of the letter Ches in the Hebrew Aleph Beis, Loshen Chius. The letter Ches, as we pronounce it, is as if it were written Ches Yud Tov, which is the letter Chius, life. Ki ha-chochmo va-ha-seichel hi ha-chius shel kol dovor. Because we know that the seichel of an item, that's the life of that item. When we say this item is alive, when we say about a person that he's alive, how do we measure his being alive? We have this term brain dead. Brain dead means that we're coming to a realization that it's the brain that really makes a person considered alive. When a person's asleep and the brain is turned off, even though he's breathing for all intents and purposes, in a sense, that person is as good as dead because he can't do any purpose because the brain is 99% shut down. To whatever extent the person's brain is alive and working, that's to the extent that we consider that person really living. There's a term existing. In English, you have the word existing, and you have the word living. For a person to exist, you can exist as long as you're physically breathing. To apply the term living, the way the Torah uses it, living is the moyach, the sechel. That's the chias of an item.
So Rabbi Nazal says, Ki achochma vasechel hi achiyus shel kol dovor. V'chochma in the sechel of an item, that's the chiyus of the item. K'moy shekosu, as the pasuk says in Koheles, Hachochma techaye be'oleho. Chochma gives life to one who possesses it. A person who's privileged to have sechel, that's what gives him life. That's what makes him considered to be alive. Now you'll note here on the line above where it says ches loshen chiyus, you see that small aleph there with the parentheses. You take that down to the bottom. Rav Nosson Zal inserted ayin zoyer hakodesh pinchos daf resh mem hayam at beis ubetikunim tikun samachay. These are two sources in the zoyer hakodesh where it explains the letter ches, and it shows how the letter ches is the symbol of chiyus. The Zohar HaKadosh quotes the term Chayim itself. Eitz Chayim hi lamachzikim bo. The word Chayim begins with the letter Ches, because Ches is the symbol of Chay, being alive. Chay, Chayim, Chiyus, all of these, the emphasis on the Ches. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that we know that wine, when we talk about wine, when it's at its full strength, it's called Yain Chay. Chai means when it's at its full strength, before it's been watered down. Now, what is wine kept in? What do we keep wine in normally? In barrels. The word that's used for barrels throughout the Gemara is chovius. A chovius of wine. The Zohar HaKadosh says, note, this word chovius is ches bayis. Ches, this is based on the pasuk, b'chochma yivne bayis. With chochma, a person builds a house. This word chavius, the chavius which contains in it yain chai, this item that's the symbol of life, when a person wants to have a party and celebrate, the celebration of the simchas, the life of the party is the wine, right? The wine is kept bedafke in these barrels, chavius, because a chavius is this symbol of b'chochma yivne bayis. It's the letter ches and the word bayis, corresponding to this chius. The chiyus of a bayis is the chochma within that house. Now Rabbi Nazal says, "Ach." So that's number one. Rabbi Nazal started off in this chapter stressing to us the importance of seichel, and how you should know that this seichel is all around you, and you have to keep your eyes open, and any time you look at an item within creation, you have to be looking for the seichel within that item. Because if you're going to be looking for it, and if you're going to attach yourself to it, it's going to lead you to Hashem. It's going to shine a path before you, leading you close to Hashem. This is the first important point that Rabbi Nazal is making in this chapter. Now Rabbi Nazal tells us there's a but. Rabbi Nazal says, "Ach, but, machmas she'or ha'seichel godol ma'oid," because of the fact that wisdom, chochma, seichel, is something that's very high, it's very deep. Eifshir lizkoy seilov kim al yedei bechinas nun shehi bechinas malchus. It's impossible to get to that without an introduction. There's a prerequisite, lahavdil, just as a person goes to college. You want to take certain courses, they tell you that you're forbidden to take this course without certain prerequisites. You're required to have another thing, you're required to do something else first, to learn something else first, and this will prepare you to get to that next level, to the second step. Rabbi Nazal says there's a prerequisite to chochma, to seichel, and that prerequisite, to the letter ches. The prerequisite is the letter nun, which is the symbol of malchus. K'moy shekosuv, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, lifnei shemesh yinoin shemoi. Dovid HaMelech was davening for his son Shlomo HaMelech, and he said to Hashem, Hashem, please let the kingdom of my son Shlomo HaMelech outshine the sun. Let his malchus be so bright and brilliant, let it outshine the sun. Now note the verb that he used, yinoin. Yinoin referring to the greatness of his kingdom, that the kingdom of Shlomo HaMelech should be so great, it should outshine the sun. So we see that the letter nun symbolizes malchus. Now a person would say, what kind of Breslov Torah is this? Nun, right away it makes an association, nun is malchus. The answer is, voloi am ha'oretz chosid. If you were privileged to learn Gemara, to learn Shas, you would know that Rabbi Nachman is never, ever making up, he's not pulling these things out of a hat. If you learn the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud, you would have come across a Gemara where the Gemara says, Rabbi Yonasan Posach Lopis Cholai Parsha Samehocho. Rabbi Yonasan began his shir from here. Daf Yud Amid Beis. The Gemara says there's a pasuk that says Vekamti Alehem Vehechresi Lebovel Shem Usheer Venin Venechet Neum Hashem. Hashem says, I will Bovel, the nation of Bovel is going to oppress the Jewish people. They're going to destroy the first Beis Hamikdash of the Jewish nation. But then Hashem says, you wait. We're going to fix their wagon. Hashem says, I'm going to rise up against Bovel, and I'm going to cut them down. I'm going to wipe out their name, their shame, their she'er, their nin, and their neched. Nu'um Hashem. So says Hashem. And the Gemara darshans, shame, zehaksav. When Hashem said, I'm going to erase the name of Bovel, this means I'm going to wipe out their literature completely. She'er zeloshoin. The word she'er over there, when Hashem says, I will wipe out their she'er, it means I'm going to wipe out their language. The Babylonian language is going to be wiped off the face of the earth. Nin, the word Hashem says, I'm going to wipe out their nin, nun yud nun, ze malchus. That means their kingdom. Where does Nin come to kingdom? You take a look in Rashi. Rashi HaKodesh says, Nin, Loshen Memsholo. The word Nin is a Loshen of kingdom. V'chein Yinoin Shemoi. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, where Dovid HaMelech says, Lifnei Shemesh Yinoin Shemoi. This means, Yimshoel V'yigdal. That Dovid HaMelech was referring to the fact that the kingdom of Shlomo HaMelech will become glorified, will become heightened. So here you have to know that it's very, very, very important for a person to learn a lot of Gemara and a lot of Rashi and a lot of Tosfos, so you get to know a lot of information, so that when a person comes to learn the Sifrei Kabbalah or the Sifrei Chassidus and they make certain references, it doesn't look to you necessarily like gibberish or like hieroglyphics, but you know that these are items that are based on Psukim and Novi, and with items that the Gemara clearly specifies, where the Gemara tells us that there are certain letters in the Aleph Beis that symbolize certain things. There's a letter that represents Chochmah. There's a letter that represents Malchus. There's a letter that represents Toiv. There's a letter that represents Bracha. The Medrash, the opening of Medrash Rabbah, goes into a whole lengthy discussion. Why was the Torah begun with the letter Beis? And the Medrash gives many reasons. The Gemara, the Medrash says, because Beis is the symbol of bracha, blessing. So we know that each and every single letter in the Aleph Beis has significance. And if we find that a word is made up of several letters, you can bet your boots that there's no coincidence that the letter bracha has a Beis in it, and the second letter is a Reish, and it's not reversed, that the Reish first and then the Beis. Every single letter has significance. The Arizal gives a spectacular chiddush, showing how the word Acher, we know that there was a rabbi in the Gemara by the name of Acher, who was the rabbi of Rabbi Meir originally, Rabbi Elisha ben Avuya, and then he turned sour. The Gemara tells us that he went up to heaven at one point, and he saw a certain item that he couldn't fathom, he couldn't understand it, and as a result, he lost his faith in Hashem, and he began studying books of philosophy and other things, and the Gemara describes his fall. Now the Gemara says, why was he called Acher? Acher means the other one. So Tosfos quotes a Medrash that says, because he was once walking in the street, and he grabbed an illicit woman, and he wanted to be with her. So the Medrash says, she looked at him and said, hey, you look like one of the rabbis. She had recognized him, that he appeared to be one of the great rabbis of the Gemara. But then she saw the way he was acting, so she said, can't be. Acher, who must be someone else. So the Gemara says that's how he took on the name Acher. That's what the Gemara says. The Arizal says, you should know that the word Acher has very, very deep meaning. That this was one of the rabbis of the Gemara, his neshama was very, very high, and his mistake was as a result of the fact that he switched around, he was Mahapech Tzinoiros. he caused a concept of a reversal within Kaviyochel by Hashem himself. He took certain things out of context, out of place, and that's what resulted in his fall. So that the Arizal explains, we know that the letter Aleph in Hebrew represents the Keser, the crown of Hashem, which is the highest level by Hashem, because Aleph is Pele. The word Pele means wondrous, and this refers to the wisdom that's found in the crown of Hashem, Kaviyochel, that's something that's so high that we are not allowed to delve into that. It's so deep that we have no association with it. So Pele means wondrous, awesome. Pele is the letters Aleph, Aleph Lamed Pei. So Aleph is the symbol of Keser. Reish is the symbol of Chochmah. We have it in this chapter. Reishis Chochmah Yiras Hashem. Reish is always an inyan of Chochmah. Ches is the symbol of Bina. We know that there are 10 attributes of Hashem. If you count from the bottom up, Malchus, Yesoid, Hoid, Netzach, so on and so forth, the 8th level is Bina. So that we have a word in Hebrew called Oirach. We just had it over here. The word oirach, which means a path, is when these letters are in their proper order. First the aleph, keser, then the resh, which is chachma, then the ches, which is bina, in sequence. The Arizal says, acher shows that he was mahapech the tzinoiros. He flipped two things around. He took it out of sequence, where he put the bina in front of the chachma. Now, again, we don't necessarily understand exactly what does that mean exactly. The Arizal explains exactly in what his mistake was, but just to give us an idea that even in the construction of words that are used in the Torah, you should know that every letter, the fact that this letter is the third letter of the word and this letter is the fourth letter of the word, there are secrets behind exactly why it is that way. So now Rabbeinu Zal says that because the light of the Seichel is so bright, it's impossible to get to it without the Nun first, which is the Malchus. Nun is the symbol of kingdom. And Rashi tells us that Yinoin is the term that refers to kingdom. And what is Malchus? What is Malchus? If Chochma is the sun, what is Malchus? Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'zeh bechinas levono, Malchus is the moon. Ki halavono ein lo'er me'atzmo ki mashemekabelas me'ashemesh." Because we know the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that the moon has no light of its own. The moon is simply a reflection of the light of the sun. So the moon represents something where its whole strength does not come from itself, it comes from something else, from somebody else. The moon itself is zero. It's simply the fact that it reflects the light of the sun, that's what makes it something. So what makes it something is someone else. So too, the Zohar HaKadosh says, so too with the attribute of Malchus, kingdom. If we stop to think for a minute, if we talk about a person being a gibor, strong, where is his gvura? His gvura is inside of himself. It's his loud voice. He can give out a roar that can scare the daylights out of anybody. Somebody comes charging at him, they want to hurt him, and he gives out a roar from inside, and the person suddenly gets stopped dead in their tracks. Or he takes his fist and puts it through somebody's face, and again, that's where his gvura is. His gvura is inside of himself. Chochma, seichel, knowledge. If a person has knowledge in the world, in the field of music, where is that knowledge? It's inside of him. Whereas Malchus, kingdom, the Zohar HaKadosh says, a king. What is a king? A king is a zero. A king is nothing. Why? Because the attribute of kingdom does not come from him at all. If a person goes into a forest where nobody's around and yells, "I'm king of the forest," they say he's a nutcase. Period. He's nuts. Because the whole concept of kingdom means when others have accepted your authority over themselves. Your whole authority as king is dependent on other people. If 50 people are willing to accept you as leader over them, then you are so large a leader, so big a king. If 50,000 people accept you as their leader, you're a larger king. The moment those 50,000 people change their mind
and they decide to accept the other guy as king, your kingdom disappeared. Abracadabra, you're no longer king. What are you talking about? It's in my veins, it's in my bones. It's nothing. It's nothing that you yourself possess at all whatsoever. This is why the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that the symbol of kingdom is the moon. Because about the moon, the Zohar HaKadosh says, "Deleslo migarmo klum." The moon has no light of its own, it's simply receiving from somebody else. It receives and reflects the light of the sun. Deleslo migarmo klum elo mashem kabeles min haches shehi bechinas chochma, bechinas shemesh. Rabbi Nazal says that the moon, kingdom, has no light of its own other than that which it receives from the ches, which is chochma, which is the sun. Rabbi Nazal says now, so therefore, in order, because the light of chochma is too great, you need an introduction to it. You need Malchus first. You need the moon. And we haven't explained yet at all what this is talking about. For now, Rabbi Nazal is laying a foundation. He's giving us certain concepts. Soon he's going to show us, what does this mean, Lemaisa? What am I supposed to do? How does this pertain to religion? Now Rabbi Nazal says, and once a person follows this two-step procedure, first the Malchus, then the Chachma, v'nasa oir alavona koir hachama, then what happens is that the light of the moon becomes increased and blown up to equal the light of the sun. The light of the moon becomes filled out to the point where it equals the light of the sun. As the Torah tells us that when Mashiach comes, we know that when Hashem first originally created these two lanterns, the Pasuk says clearly in the Chumash that Hashem created as Shnei Hama'oirois Hagdoilois. Originally, the moon and the sun were equal in stature. It's only, the Gemara says in Chulin, that because of the fact that the moon came with a complaint and said, impossible for two kings to use one crown, so the Gemara said, oh yeah? Then you go down. If you're the one that can't handle having somebody equal to yourself right alongside of you, then I'm going to decrease your light. And it's then that Hashem decreased the light of the moon to make it simply a reflection of the light of the sun. So originally they started out as equals, and the Gemara tells us that when Mashiach comes, the light of the moon is going to be restored to the point where it's going to equal the light of the sun. Rabbi Nazal says now, so that's what a Jew is supposed to do. But a Jew who does not bind himself to the seichel and the chokhmah and the chiyus that's found in every item, ze bechinas esov. That Jew is a concept of esov harosha. We said that Yaakov Avinu is the symbol of chokhmah. Vayakveni ze pamayim, right? Vachakmeni. We showed how Yaakov Avinu is the symbol of the sun, a bright light. Rabbi Nazal says, a Jew who rejects wisdom, a Jew who shows a disinterest in knowledge, that Jew is the concept of Esav Harosha. Shebizo es habechera. We know the Torah tells us that Esav showed a disdain, a disrespect for the birthright, for Bechera, which is Reishis, which is Chochmah. As the Pasuk says, Vayivez Esav es habechera. Esav showed a disdain for Bechera. Dahainu ha-seichel kanal. We said earlier that Bechera refers to seichel. Bechina, says the Pasuk says, Mishle lo yachboitz ksil b'svuno kiim b'hizgalos liboy. A fool is not interested in seichel. He's not interested in intellect. He's only interested in fulfilling his heart's desires, which means gashmius, going after the base things in life, the simpler things in life. Vezehu bechinas malchus harisho, bechinas levono de sitrachro, she'oleho nemar v'chofro halavono. Rabbi Nazal says, you should know that just as we said earlier, that there is a concept of a malchus dikdusha, a kingdom of holiness, the kingdom of Shlom HaMelech, which is compared to the moon, so too, there's a concept of a kingdom of Tumah, a Malchus HaRishah, which is compared to a defective moon. There's a pasuk where the pasuk says, V'chofra halavona, that the moon will be filled with shame and embarrassment. What does that symbolize?
that symbolizes the kingdom of Tuma, the kingdom of Esav Harosha, which is a kingdom which lacks intellect. It lacks seichel. It's a king. We know that a king is only as great as his advisors, his ministers. Anybody that studies governments, that studies leadership, knows that the strength of a king are the advisors around him. They're the brains of his kingdom, and they're the ones who show him with chokhmah how to conduct the kingdom. We find the Torah tells us the story of Rechavam, the son of Shlomo HaMelech, who made the silly mistake. He was presented with a situation where the Jews were rebelling at the time against the very high taxes that he was imposing. So the Navi says that he had advisors around him, older people that were knowledgeable, that were experienced. They said to him, they saw, they had their hand on the pulse of the people, and they saw that the smartest thing to do at this point would be to lower the taxes, because the people were going through an economic struggle at the time where it was impossible for them, during the time of Shlomo HaMelech, there was such prosperity that they were able to pay the kind of taxes that Shlomo HaMelech requested from them. But now the prosperity had gone down, and they weren't in a position to pay such heavy taxes. So his advisors, the older advisors, suggested him to lower the taxes. The Navi says that Rechavam made the mistake. He decided to ask a second opinion. Who did he go to? The young whippersnappers. He went to some kids at the time, these 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, who didn't have the same experience, and he asked them what their opinion was, and they said, you don't stand for this baloney nonsense. They don't want to pay the taxes. You send your army out. You show them who's boss. And the Navi says, sure enough, he made the mistake of following their advice, and the people rebelled, and his kingdom went down the tubes. He became Ois king, no more king. He was dethroned, he was eliminated, period. So we see that the whole authority of a king is dependent on how well plugged in his malchus is to the chokhmah, to the seichel. The chokhmah is the chiyus of the malchus. Now, so Rabbi Nezal told us that there's the malchus dikdusha, and there's this malchus harishur, which is the symbol of Esav. Esav is also a king. He also had leaders, but his leadership was one which despised the chokhmah. Lo yachboi tzksil b'svuna kim b'skalas liboi. Now Rabbi Nezal says, v'zeh b'chinas yetzer toi v'yetzer hara. This is also the concept of the struggle that takes place inside a Jew between the yetzer toiv and the yetzer hara. Ki ha-yetzer toiv nikra miskein v'chokham. We know that in Koheles, Shlomo HaMelech tells a moshel, an allegory, and in the allegory he discusses a poor king, a poor and wise person, who came into a city and he saved the city. He discusses a city that was going through a very big problem. They were being attacked. There was another king that was waging war against them. And there was a miskein v'chocham, a poor, intelligent person, who came in and he saved them. He showed them how to save themselves. And there, the Gemara explains that Shlomo HaMelech is actually referring over there to the conflict between the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Tov is called a miskein. He's poor. The chokham, but very smart. Rabbi Nezal says, "Bechinas malchus." This is the concept of kingdom. Shehi bechinas aniyo vedalo. Malchus is something that's called poor. Deleslo migarmo klum, because it has nothing of its own. A wise person has his wisdom. He owns his wisdom. A strong person possesses strength. A king does not possess kingdom. He possesses nothing. As long as the people accept his authority over them, that's how long he's in business as king. The minute the people change their minds, he's no longer king. So does he actually have anything? He has nothing. You understand? He himself possesses no part of his kingdom. It's the people that, as long as they're willing to continue showing respect for him, that's what his kingdom, that's what his authority consists of. So Malchus is called Miskein. It's poor. It's an attribute that has no light of its own, just like the Levona is poor. It has none of its own light. It's simply receiving. It's a Mekabel. It's not a Mashpia. It's receiving from the sun. Ki Yemash Mekabelas Michochma. Malchus has no light of its own other than that which it receives from Chochma. That's the Yetzer Tov. A Miskein v'Chochma. A Malchus that's attached to Chochma of Kedusha. V'yetzahoro nikro melech zokein uksil. And over there in Koheles, Shlomo Melech refers to the Yetzahoro as a melech, a king, who is zokein, he's old, uksil, and foolish. We know that a young person is one who has a thirst for knowledge. Usually, you never find anybody asking as much questions as kids. Why? Because as long as a person is young, as long as a person feels young, they have a thirst for knowledge. They're curious. Everything around them is strange. They want to understand everything. The older a person gets, in quotes, that term older, the older a person feels, the less curious, the less interest, the less of a thirst for knowledge, the less of that rush to succeed, that climbing, that desire for success and for greater success and still greater success, that youthfulness is that whole drive that helps a person continue. So Rabbeinu Zal says that the symbol of the Yetzirah is Melech Zokein, he's old and dried out, and Ksil, and foolish. Bechinas Malchus de Sitra Achra. This is the symbol of the kingdom of the Sitra Achra, of the Soton, She'eno Chafetzo Bechochma V'Seichel. He shows no interest at all, no desire for seichel, for knowledge, for wisdom. Bechinas lo yachboitz ksil besvuna kanal. As the pasuk we showed earlier, that a fool rejects knowledge, rejects wisdom. Again, Rabbeinu Zal is laying groundwork. He's showing us concepts. He's lining up certain things that this attaches to this, and this corresponds to this, which corresponds to that, which corresponds to that. Now Rabbeinu Zal tells us what we are supposed to do with this. V'tzorech kol echot liten koyach lebechinas malchus digdusho lehiskaper al malchus desitrachra. Rabbeinu Zal says you should know that there's a struggle taking place in this world. There are two things that are constantly engaged in battle, in conflict. What are they? They are the malchus digdusho and the malchus of the sitrachra, the kingdom of holiness, and the kingdom of the Soton of Tumah. These two are constantly engaged in battle, and it's the objective of a Jew living in this world to strengthen, to give power and strength to the Malchus de Kedusha, to Mimizgaber, to overcome the Malchus of the Sitra Achra. Valideima noisen koyach la Malchus de Kedusha. What can a Jew do that gives strength to the Malchus? As the Gemara says, how do we know that there is this, that a Jew is required to strengthen the Malchus Tikdusha over the Malchus de Sitra Achra? As the Gemara says in Brachas, Lo'olam yargiz odom yetzer toiv al yetzer hara. That it's a Jew's mission in this world to strengthen the yetzer toiv over the yetzer hara. To give the yetzer toiv the strength to overcome the yetzer hara. The yetzer toiv is the symbol of the Malchus Tikdusha. The Yetzirah is the symbol of the Malchus HaRishua. How does one give strength to the Malchus of Kedusha? Al yidei ha-Torah shehu oisek b'koyach. When a Jew is zeiche to study Torah with power, with strength, giving it all he's got, concentrating his brain, and moving his lips, saying the words, and really applying himself to the study of Torah, that's how the person gives strength to the Malchus Tikdusha. How do we know this? Rabbeinu Zal says, because if you look at that Gemara in Brachas, the Gemara begins by saying, Lo'olam yargiz odom yetzer toiv al yetzer hara. And the Gemara says, fine, if you see that you're succeeding, take a look in the parentheses here. K'may sham razal shom, lo'olam yargiz. And the Gemara continues to say there, E ozil mutav. If you see that you're succeeding, fine. V'ilav, and if not, what should you do to help you in strengthening your Yetzer Tov over Yetzer Hara? Yasek ba-Torah. You should study Torah. Because the study of Torah is what helps you give the Yetzer Tov the strength that it needs to overcome the Yetzer Hara. How do we know this? Ukamay Sham Razal, as the Gemara says in Kiddushin, Impoga b'chom minuvol zeh mashikeyu lebeis ha-medrash. The Gemara says, if this despicable character, the Satan, approaches you, and he wants to try to ensnare you, he wants to try to get you to listen to him, what's your solution? How do you defeat him? Mashikeyu lebeis ha-medrash. Drag him into a beis medrash. Go learn Torah, and you'll see that there's nothing that can give you the strength that you need to overcome the Yetzer Hara as well as the study of Torah.
That's what really, really helps a person to overcome the Yetzer Hara. Ki al yidei, now there's a very interesting chiddush, just to go off on a tangent for a second. Maybe let's finish the paragraph first. Ki al yidei ha-Torah noisein koyach l'malchus d'kedusha. Through the study of Torah, a person gives strength to the kingdom of Kedusha, to the Yetzer Tov. V'azai mekabeles ha-malchus shei b'chinas nun, chiyus min ha-chochmo shei b'chinas ches. When a person studies Torah, we say he's strengthening the Malchus d'kedusha, and he's binding the Malchus, which is the Nun, to the Chachma, which is the Ches. We said Chachma is Ches. The Torah is Chachma. When a person attaches the Nun to the Ches, v'nischaber v'niskasher ha-Ches v'nun, v'nasa oir ha-levono koir ha-chamo, and the light of the moon becomes like the light of the sun. And we know that there's a rule in the Gemara that these two are on opposite ends of a seesaw. Yaakov and Esav, the Malchus D'kedusha and the Malchus HaRishah, these two can never be on top at the same time. The Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Mem Beis, quotes a pasuk. There's a pasuk that says, Amale Hecharova. Hashem says, I will fill the pit. I will fill the ditch. The Gemara says this pasuk refers to Yaakov and Esav. Kisheze mole ze chorev. Kisheze chorev ze mole. When this one is full, this one is a vacuum. When this one is full, the other one is a vacuum. These two are always considered to be on opposite ends of a seesaw. So if we say that by studying Torah you strengthen the Malchus D'kedusha, automatically that implies that you weaken and you suppress and push down the Malchus HaRishah, the Malchus of the Sitra Achra. V'azayin noifel v'nisbatel Malchus HaRishah. And then the Malchus HaRishah falls and becomes nullified. K'mo shekosuv, as the Pasuk says in Hoshea, ki yeshorim darchei Hashem. The path of Hashem, which is the Torah, right? The word darchei Hashem refers to the Torah. Derocheho darchei noyam v'chol nesivoseh sholem. The Derech Hashem is another nickname for the Torah. So the Pasuk says, Ki Yeshorim Darchei Hashem, the Torah is smooth, V'tzadikim Yelchubam, U'poishim Yikoshlubam. Tzadikim rise with it, and Poishim sinners fall with it. Which means, Hainu Al Yidei Darchei Hashem, Hainu HaTorah, through the Darchei Hashem, which is the Torah, Al Yidei Zeh, through that, HaTzadikim Shedveikim HaMalchus D'kedusha, V'Tzadikim that are attached to the Malchus D'kedusha, Heim Nizchaskim U'Mekablim Koyach Al Yidei Zeh. They become strengthened, and they draw strength through it. The Torah gives them their strength to rise and climb and succeed. And the sinners, they become defeated through this same Torah. When a tzaddik, when any Jew studies Torah, he gives strength to the tzaddikim, and he suppresses, he helps to defeat the rishon. We know, for example, right now, the world is in conflict. Eretz Yisrael, it's Eretz Yisrael versus all the nations of the goyim, especially the Arab countries. A Jew wants to know, what is one of the things that I could do to strengthen the land of Israel and to weaken all of these Arab nations surrounding us? Rabbi Nizal says he should know that when a Jew studies Torah, he strengthens the Malchus D'kedusha and he weakens, he naturally, automatically brings down the Malchus HaRishah. Bechinas haYetzahara shenoyfel v'nichna al yedei haTorah kanal. The Yetzahara which falls and becomes subdued and suppressed through the study of Torah. Now Rabbi Nizal has given us the second building block of this chapter. We're not finished yet at all. These are all pieces of a puzzle that are being put together, which once we complete this whole chapter, we'll get to understand well how all of this ties together and what we are supposed to take out of this lamaisa. Now just to cover that small point on the side for a moment, this is an interesting point. The Gemara tells us that when does the Yetzer Hara enter a person? There's a pasuk in Chumash that says, La Pesach Chatos Roivetz. That Chatos, the Yetzer Hara, waits at the entrance. At the entrance of what? The entrance of the mother's womb.
that the moment a baby is coming out from its mother, right there the sultan is standing there with his big fancy hat and everything, saying, welcome, I'm going to be with you throughout your flight. Enjoy, have a good time. I'm here to show you the best time possible on your 70-year excursion. When does a Jew get the Yetzer Tov? The Yetzer Tov doesn't come to the person until 13 years later. This is why the Gemara says we know that kids generally are mischievous. Where does the mischief in children come from? The Gemara says this is as a result of the fact that the Yetzer Hara, during those early years in life, the child lives with the Yetzer Hara, not with the Yetzer Tov. This is a fact. So therefore, the Gemara says, when these two now come before a Jew and they present their case, the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara both showing their wares, the Yetzer Hara says to the Yetzer Tov, you chutzpinyak, how dare you show your face in front? Where's your respect for elders? I'm 13 years older than you. The Yetzer Hara is called Melech Zokein Uksil. Note, he's called older. The Gemara says one of the reasons why he's called Zokein is because he's older than the Yetzer Tov. The Yetzer Tov is 13 years younger within the person than the Yetzer Hara. Now, we know the Gemara says that when do we show respect for age? The Gemara says, Hoyelchen achar Zokein b'mesiba. When it comes to a meal, when Jews are seated at a meal, and there's a choice of whom to offer the benching to, the Birkas HaMozoim, we say age before beauty. How do we know? What's the proof for this? The Gemara says that Lo Sid Lo Voy Hashem is going to make a Suda for Klal Yisrael. And at the end of the Suda, he's going to offer the benching. Who is he going to offer the benching to first? The Gemara says all the Tzadikim are going to be there. Moshe Rabbeinu, David HaMelech, Avraham Avinu. Who's he going to offer the benching to first? Avraham Avinu. Why? Because age before wisdom, age before beauty, age before everything. When it comes to mesiba, when it comes to a meal, it's age first. Whereas when it comes to the Beis Medrash, whereas when it comes to Torah, when it comes to Torah, we say it's not age first. If you have a Talmud Chacham that's 20 years old, and you have an Amoritz that's 70 years old, you're supposed to give, when it comes to giving an Aliyah to the Sefer Torah, who do we give the respect to? We give the kavod to the Talmud Chacham over the Amoritz. The Gemara says, even if a Kohen, the Gemara says, woe is to that Gabbai who gives an Aliyah to a Kohen Amoritz, he calls him up to the Torah before calling up a Yisrael Talmud Chacham. The Yisrael Talmud Chacham is supposed to go before the Kohen Amoritz. The Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch says, however, nowadays we don't really have any true Talmud Chachamim in the sense of the word, as the Gemara was referring to it. So today we play by the simple rules. Kohen first, Levi, then Yisrael. But we see that when it comes to Torah, we don't give the respect to the age, we give respect to the Chochma. It's based on this that the Gemara says, Impoga b'chol menuvel zeh. If this menuvel, the Yetzer Hara, comes to you, and he's coming with a legitimate argument, what's his argument? I'm older. Why should you listen to the Yetzer Tov, that young Shmarkatz? He's a little kid. He's 13 years younger than me. Take advice from the older one, the Yetzer Hara. The Gemara says, Mashikei lebeis hamedrash. Drag him to the Beis Medrash. There it's not age that rules. There it's Chochma that rules. And in Chochma, we know that the Satan is called Melech Zokein Uksil. He's called a fool. Whereas the Yetzer Tov is called Misgein V'Chocham. This is one of the chidushim that our Rebbe Zichron of Rocha gave on this Gemara, you know, tying this thing together. We'll hold it here for now. Next week we'll continue from here. That's a shame. Again, we're not finished. We're putting together building blocks of a puzzle. We're going to have another 2 weeks, then we're going to have this whole puzzle is going to come together perfectly well. You're going to see how all of this ties together.